Good day, Crime Talk aficionados, and thank you for tuning in. This video has only one thing on the docket, and that's an in-depth discussion of the Letitia Stauch affidavit for arrest warrant that was leaked on social media last night and officially released by the court today. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and thank you for watching. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe, hit that like button, and always leave us a comment as to what you think about what we discuss here today. I think the best question for today would be, do you think the prosecution has enough to convict Letitia Stauch based upon the affidavit for an arrest warrant? And two, do you think someone else was involved? The affidavit for arrest warrant was signed by a judge on February 28th of 2020 for the arrest of Letitia Stauch. It was definitely a work in progress, and the police had been working on this extensively. We're going to go through it because there's a lot of information in this that you are not going to hear on the evening news, and you're going to see why this information is relevant, and you'll also see why in this affidavit the police state that they include what they believe is enough to establish probable cause, but that they believe that they have even more information and evidence that would go to convict Letitia Stauch. So let's get started. The first thing in the affidavit is kind of a nutshell, and they're given their experience. And the drafter of this particular document was Jessica Bethel. She is an El Paso County Sheriff's deputy. She is a detective and has been so since 2010. So she has several years of experience, and she apparently was assisted in the drafting of this affidavit for arrest warrant by Special Agent Andrew Cohen of the FBI. Now, the first thing that the affidavit does is kind of give a list of the people involved in this particular case. And so we have the father, Eugene Al Stauch, all right? We have stepmother, Letitia Stauch. The daughter, Harley Hunt. She's a minor. She's 17. And she is related by blood to Letitia, but not Al. The son, obviously Gannon, is the minor missing, and he's related by blood to Al, but not Letitia. There's a daughter, Lena Stauch. She's 8, and she's related by blood to Al, but not Letitia. The vehicles involved in this particular case are a red Nissan Frontier. That's Mr. Al Stauch's main vehicle. A black Volkswagen Tiguan, that's Letitia's main vehicle, a white Volkswagen Jetta, which is Harley's main vehicle, and a silver Nissan Altima. That's a rental car that was obtained by Letitia's aunt, Brenda Acquard, and utilized by Letitia from January 30th through February 1st. And after her Volkswagen was seized from January 29th through the 20th. Additionally, there's a white Kia, a rental car obtained and utilized by Letitia from January 28th and 29th. Those are all significant. Now, the affidavit does go into kind of the limited criminal history of Letitia. Apparently, back in 2001, she got in trouble and was convicted after a trial for communicating threats. Ultimately, it's a misdemeanor charge, and there was no sentencing information. Additionally, in another case, she was convicted of unauthorized use of a motor vehicle in Robeson County. She was ultimately sentenced to 45 days in custody and 18 months of probation on that particular case. The drafters of the affidavit also felt it necessary to state that the North Carolina teaching certificates of Letitia had basically been suspended. Now, the affidavit goes on to state that, well, this really has nothing to do with it, and no one's prior criminal history should be used to say that they're guilty of something, but we're just letting the court know the kind of person that we're dealing with in this particular case. Now, there's a lot of redundancy in this affidavit, and so we're going to try to save you a lot of that redundancy. We're going to hit the big points. First, why did the police believe that Letitia murdered Gannon? And here's kind of a summary of the police as they go through their particular investigation and why they think they link it all together. Specifically, The investigators believe that Gannon was murdered by Letitia in the afternoon hours of January 27th of 2020. They believe that this murder took place at the residence and specifically in Gannon's bedroom. They believe that physical evidence recovered from the residence and inside Gannon's bedroom support that a violent event occurred in the bedroom, which caused bloodshed, including blood spatter on the walls and enough blood loss to stain his mattress. This blood apparently also soaked through the carpet pad, and stained the concrete below his bed. The police believe that Gannon's remains were eventually brought through the house into the garage and likely loaded into the back of Letitia's Volkswagen. After cleaning the murder scene, Letitia utilized the Volkswagen to transport and dump Gannon's remains on the evening of January 28th of 2020. Letitia likely disposed of the remains off of Highway 105 South Perry Park in Douglas County, Colorado. And they believe this because the Metro Crime Lab determined that blood discovered on Gannon's bedroom, the garage, and blood on a piece of particle board located off of Highway 105 South Perry Park Road all matched the DNA profile of Gannon. Now, what gets interesting here is that obviously the detective's theory about this was incorrect, as Gannon's body was ultimately found in Florida. That is one of the pieces of information that ultimately the investigators are going to have to link Letitia to, is somehow Florida or was someone else involved. The police believe that on January 27th, Gannon stayed at home from school. That's based upon text messages from Letitia to Al, saying that Gannon was up most of Sunday night with a stomach problem. Apparently, Letitia did tell Gannon's school, Grand Mountain Elementary, that Gannon would be absent on Monday. And they were able to verify that Gannon was marked as an excused absence that day. Letitia also told Al that, "I'm going to give them an excuse at work and stay with him." Indeed, Letitia did come up with an excuse and told her employer via text message about 4:37 a.m. that morning that her stepdad was killed after being hit by a car and she would not be able to come to work that day. Additionally, via electronic evidence such as a time and date stamped photograph and video were recovered from Letitia's cell phone that indicate Gannon was likely still alive during the morning of January 27th of 2020. There was an image taken on Letitia's phone at or about 8:13 and 8:17 on the morning of January 27th, showing Gannon sleeping in his bed. Of particular interest to the police was that there was a Nintendo Switch, which is a video game, handheld game, is visible in the photo line next to him in the bed. Al has stated that this gaming system was of high importance to Gannon. To date, investigators have been unable to locate the Nintendo Switch. It should also be noted that Letitia used her phone the following day, January 28th, 2020, at about 12:57, to conduct a Google search, "Can Nintendo find my Switch?" The investigators also conducted a Google search of "Can Nintendo find my Switch?" and learned that the Switch does not come with any sort of tracking ability. As such, detectives believe Letitia likely felt it was safe to dispose of the Switch and use the missing Switch to help deceive law enforcement into searching for Gannon as a possible runaway. Additionally, investigators located video surveillance from a neighbor's surveillance camera that showed what investigators to believe Letitia and an individual that appeared to match Gannon's physical description depart the residence in the Nissan Frontier at about 10:16 a.m. on January 27th of 2020. Now, the video camera is several homes away and does not provide images clear enough to make positive identification of those captured in the recording. The vehicle does return about 2:19 p.m. and Letitia exited the vehicle. After reviewing the vehicle, the detectives are not sure if another person exited the vehicle or not, but the investigators submit Gannon likely did return home with Letitia that afternoon. These times are corroborated by data collected by ADT security systems installed in the residence, and they'll discuss that much later in the affidavit. The police also believe that historical cell site information detailed on Letitia's phone status and a text message sent to Harley from Gannon's cell phone support that Letitia left her cell phone at the residence the morning of January 27th. The fact Letitia left her phone at home is suspicious on its own based upon the history of her extensive use of the phone. Now, the police are obviously trying to say that she left her phone there so that she could not be tracked as to where she was in fact going. The police go into extensive comment on how Letitia used her phone constantly, that basically between a particular time frame, she usually was on her phone for about 10.7 hours, but coincidentally wasn't on the phone at the time that they believe that the murder took place. Now, through video surveillance, the police have been able to determine that Letitia went to Petco on two occasions on January 27th. Now, the police believe that a significant event occurred on Gannon's phone on or about 1:43, which is prior to arriving back at the residence. There was an internet search. Can my parent find my cell phone if it's off? The police submit that this internet search was likely conducted by Letitia on Gannon's phone and not Gannon himself. They believe this based upon the content of the search, the way the search terms are phrased, and the presence of a period in between phone and if. This is very similar to the way Letitia conducted searches of her phone. Now, I would hope that the police have more than basically spaces and periods on searches for that. I assure you the defense would more than likely conduct extensive cross-examination on that issue. The police go on and speculate that they believe that it's also suspicious that he used the term parent in the singular term versus parents. Gannon's phone was ultimately found at the house, and the police submit that that's because Letitia did not get rid of the phone because out of fear that it could in fact be traceable. The police also state that a search warrant authorized by the court and was executed on the frontier found no indication of blood inside the vehicle. Now you would ask, why would the police put that in? The police also have to put into an affidavit any evidence which would tend to be exculpatory, information that would tend to say there isn't probable cause in this particular case. There's a lot of other information regarding what time people came home from the residence and what have you. But of significance is about 4:52 p.m. on January 27th, 2020, Letitia sent a text message to Harley requesting carpet cleaner, trash bags, and baking soda. The police speculate that these items were likely used to clean up the murder scene. They have evidence that Harley purchased these items, and investigators located a receipt to confirm such a purchase. Harley Hunt, the daughter of Letitia, has refused to speak with the investigators in any way. Now, point of note, just like anyone who's accused of a crime or under investigation, they are presumed innocent, and everyone that we discuss here in Crime Talk is, unless and until they are found guilty in a court of law or they plead guilty. But Miss Harley Hunt has not said a word, and she has not been charged. It would appear as though she is a person of interest to the police. The police also go through various body cam video based upon the initial interview with Letitia regarding the disappearance of Gannon. Of particular note, the officers and the detectives note the position of the bed when the initial report came in versus where it normally would be. Additionally, there's a missing bed sheet and pillowcase that the police have been unable to locate on the bedding that was originally located or seen in the body-worn camera on January 27th. Additionally, they compare the photograph of when the police arrived to the photograph of when Gannon was actually in bed and its position, and they use that to explain why blood spatter, or what they believe to be blood spatter, would be on the electrical outlet near the bed. The police also go into the need to rent the 2019 Kia. Now, Al spent the night in Denver on January 25th and flew out of DIA on January 26th, and that was all corroborated. He flew from Denver to Dallas and ultimately to Oklahoma. On January 28th, Letitia rented a 2019 Kia from the Avis Rent-A-Car lot in Colorado Springs. Now, Letitia picked Al up at the Colorado Springs Airport at about 8:50 a.m. on January 28th. Letitia and Al drove back to the residence from the airport in the rented Kia. Now, the police believe that the timing of this rental is actually suspicious, and combined with forensic evidence later obtained from the Volkswagen, they believe that it tends to place additional importance on why Letitia felt compelled to rent a vehicle this particular morning. There was no evidence that the Volkswagen had mechanical issues and no reason why it could not be physically driven at the time. In fact, the Volkswagen remained parked in the Colorado Springs Airport short-term parking until 7 p.m. on January 28th. When Letitia did speak with the police, she stated that she was concerned about putting too many miles on her leased vehicle. There was a limited search of the Volkswagen, and it produced negative results. Now, the Kia Rio that was rented by Letitia was ultimately returned, and investigators seized that vehicle. Now, this is where it gets a little interesting, was the fact that they swabbed a stain that was confirmed to be blood in the trunk of the Kia Rio, and they submitted that for DNA analysis. And the DNA profile was developed, and it determined it was submitted a mixture of two contributors. So it was two individuals' blood, one of which was a male, and the major profile did not match Gannon at all. The police then go on to try and explain that obviously, this is a rental car used by a large number of people, and therefore, they really can't explain how the blood got there, but they know that it was, in fact, not Gannon's at all, and that the blood profile in the car was not associated with this case in any way. The police did find mud under the vehicle, and they used that to try to determine if they could identify where the vehicle might have been. Now, the Volkswagen is of some significance in this particular case. Investigators believe that the Volkswagen was used to transport the remains of Gannon from the residence to where the body was ultimately dumped. This is according to the police, based on the affidavit submitted on February 28th. We know that may have been incorrect, but it may have been correct, and then maybe the body was transferred. It's unclear. The definite location of the Volkswagen was unknown to investigators during the time period of 7 p.m. on January 28th and about 12 p.m. on January 29th. That's when investigators believe Letitia dumped Gannon's remains on the evening of January 28th and utilized the Volkswagen to do so. That Volkswagen was seized on January 29th. Now, on January 29th, Letitia scheduled an interview with the El Paso County Sheriff's Office, located in Colorado Springs, Colorado. When she arrived about 12 p.m., she was driving the Volkswagen, and they noticed that the vehicle was wet and appeared to have been recently washed. The police believe that the clean vehicle was because there was likely visible blood on the rear end based upon the luminol reactions. The police ultimately went to the car wash where they believe that the Volkswagen was in fact being cleaned, and they have video to support that that's what took place. Once the car was seized, the FBI evidence response team conducted a search of the Volkswagen. Forensic portions of the search revealed possible traces of blood on the rear of the vehicle and a rear passenger seat, a front passenger seat, and an area near the glove box based upon a luminol forensic latent blood stain reagents test. Swabs were apparently sent to the Metro Crime Lab for further analysis, and as the date of this affidavit, no results had been returned. And it's explained, and for those who do not know, luminol is a chemical used to detect trace amounts of blood at crime scenes, and although the detective states in this particular case that they do not have a biological background, that they have learned through their training and experience, that the luminol reacts with iron in hemoglobin found in blood. And when the luminol emits a blue glow, then the reaction occurs. The officer states that they're also aware that things other than blood could cause a reaction, such as other chemicals. Once again, they have to put that in because if it looks like the police are withholding exculpatory information or somehow this is some smoking gun type of evidence and it turns out it's not, it can be misleading and the whole case could be in jeopardy. The police are also convinced that Letitia asking her daughter Harley to pick up carpet cleaner baking soda, trash bags, is also evidence of cleaning up a crime scene. There's also evidence that vinegar that was in the house was missing, but vinegar is also used to remove blood stains as well. Now, Letitia has made several statements that are inconsistent and basically are not supported by the evidence. The police clearly do not believe Letitia in any way whatsoever. Now, first she said the Gannon was being out to play and she doesn't know what happened to him. But I think there's something very interesting as it relates to this next version of the events. On January 29th, she was interviewed by the El Paso County Sheriff's Department. And Letitia stated in an audio and video recording that she was supposed to arrive at 10 a.m. on the 29th, but didn't arrive till noon. She spoke with investigators on the phone that time, and she did not want investigators coming to her home, and it was difficult at best to track down. Investigators provided food and water to Letitia during the interview. The reason why they do that is you don't want to be accused of depriving somebody of food to get them to talk. What's also of interest is that Letitia brought several pieces of notebook paper with notes on it and wanted to refer to them throughout her interview and actually wanted to basically just read from her notes. Very unusual, to say the least. Letitia should have been contacting an attorney early on in this particular case. Clearly, she was the primary suspect. Letitia drastically departed from her initial statements given to the El Paso County deputies regarding the report of Gannon's disappearance. She went on in this interview and stated that she had been held at gunpoint, sexually assaulted by a Hispanic male by the name of Eduardo, and that Gannon was abducted by that male after he finished sexually assaulting her. Now, there hasn't been a whole lot of talk about this, and I'm sure it's because the press gets very weird as it relates to sexual assaults, but in this particular case, there is no real report of a sexual assault at all. In fact, the police believe it's complete hogwash based upon the evidence, based upon video surveillance, as well as the alarm systems in the house. In fact, the detectives go on and state in the affidavit that they believe that this statement is completely false based upon their prior involvement of investigating sexual assaults. Specifically, she states that Letitia arrived home about 4:30 on the 27th. She disarmed her security system and then went into the basement. That's when she says this Hispanic male was in the basement, attacked her, pointed a gun at her. She said that after that, the Hispanic male held her at gunpoint. He allowed her to go upstairs to greet her stepdaughter, who had just arrived home from school. Letitia said she then sent her outside to ride her bike, then returned to the basement where, once again, the Hispanic male vaginally penetrated her against her will between 3:30 and 4:30 p.m. She believed that during that time, she had hit her head and may have blacked out. Investigators noted that there were no injuries on Letitia's head during their contact with her. The part that I think gets of significance here, because sometimes in stories that are completely fabricated, there's a little bit of truth to it. Letitia stated that during the attack, Gannon jumped on the Hispanic male's back and that the Hispanic male was able to throw Gannon off his back and across the room. After the Hispanic male had finished, he had the gun held at Gannon and demanded a suitcase. A suitcase. As you recall, the report was that Gannon was found in Florida in a suitcase. Letitia apparently provided this Hispanic male with a brown suitcase and a cardboard box. The male then attempted to sexually assault her again, but she hit her head and blacked out again. Letitia then went on to state that she tried to fight the Hispanic male off, but was unsuccessful. The police go on to say the reason why they find this completely untruthful is, one, that even if one was delaying the report of a sexual assault, that one would not fail to immediately report a home invasion, rape, and kidnapping of their child. The police weren't called until hours later and did not report this alleged rape until some 2 days later. Further, of even more significance, Letitia said that she cleaned up the area when this alleged attack had happened. She straightened up signs of a disturbance in Gannon's room and cleaned up the utility room. Now, the police just did not completely dismiss these reports of a sexual assault because obviously that's a serious crime if it in fact was committed. And so what the police did was they reviewed video footage from the neighbor's security area. They captured the exterior of the residence of the date that Gannon was murdered, and they did not observe a Hispanic male entering the house. Investigators did observe the young daughter arrive home on the school bus at about 3:15 and observed her enter the residence and her riding her bike about 3:30. The police offered to have a sane examination done, which is a sexual assault nurse examination kit done. Letitia refused. When given an opportunity to provide investigators with evidence that would possibly identify the Hispanic male, Letitia once again refused to cooperate. Letitia states that this Hispanic male that she identified stated in summary that Gannon had knocked over a candle on Sunday, causing the carpet to burn. After that incident, she apparently drove around the neighborhood where residential construction was taking place, where she met this Hispanic male who was working on a house and asked if he would repair the carpet. According to Letitia, the Hispanic male agreed, and Letitia provided him with a garage door code, and they agreed that the carpet would be repaired while she was shopping the next day. The officers go on to state that they looked at the ADT home security system and it was not consistent with the story as well as the sensors that take place in the home as well. Of also particular note, Letitia stated that she was ill and suffering basically chest pains. She was taken to the hospital, and once at the hospital, she had a miraculous recovery and ultimately met some unidentified person in the lobby, and she left the hospital without telling investigators anything else that day. Apparently at the hospital, Letitia was very evasive, and particularly evasive after investigators told her they were going to detain her pending the issuance of a search warrant to collect her DNA. The search warrant collection for non-testimonial identification was signed and executed. That's a DNA swab. Now, what is also mentioned in here, and something I have never seen, was that the investigators obtained a warrant to have a sane kit examination done on Letitia. Now, ultimately, the court signed it and then quashed its own warrant. I've never seen anything like that signed before. And needless to say, Letitia did not cooperate, which she does not have to do in the collection of a rape kit. The police also go on to mention that a mattress was seized and that contains a red stain consistent with blood in the same area as the stain on the carpet and the blood cast off the walls. The stains on the mattress were swabbed but were not tested with Blue Star reagent, and laboratory results had not been returned as of February 28th. Now, Gannon, investigators believe that it's Gannon's blood on the mattress. Now, the defense may have 100 explanations as to why this could have taken place, whether it was over time or what have you. We'll have to see what the defense will ultimately do with that. The police also submit in the affidavit that the room appears to have been cleaned up based upon residual blood residue on the baseboards, an electrical outlet cover, and the blood that soaked through the carpet. Also reiterate that given the fact that Gannon's blood is there, his body has not been found, they conclude that this is where the murder of Gannon took place. The investigators have also retained a senior crime scene analyst and a blood pattern analyst to analyze the scene, and their preliminary report are that the stains on the walls are consistent with one or more blood spatter producing events, which could include a gunshot, blunt force, or a stabbing. Now, as you may recall, when Miss Letitia Stalk was actually back in court, the sentencing enhancement as it relates to the charges of a deadly weapon being used, a gun, a knife, or some blunt object were added, more than likely based upon this report. The police went on and talked about the DNA evidence and blood evidence that was obtained in various items that they had seized of evidentiary value. Some of the more significant findings are that there was a piece of carpet found inside a carpet roll in the utility room. There was a mixture of three contributors, and at least one of which is a male. A DNA profile was not suitable for comparison due to the number of contributors and the complexity of the mixtures. So basically, they can't say it had anything to do with it. As it relates to the garage under where the rear hatch of the Volkswagen was parked reversed into the garage, there's a DNA profile from the blood is a mixture of two contributors, one of which is a male. The major profile of that male is that of Gannon. Samples taken from the garage of the residence is also a mixture and contains a match of Gannon. There was a blood stain found on some carpet at the base of the garage stairs. However, they were unable to produce a DNA sample. A DNA profile was obtained, and the blood matches the DNA profile in the carpet in Gannon's room. A sample was taken from the trunk area of the Volkswagen, and that sample was found to be negative for the presence of blood. That's considered exculpatory evidence, because you would think if they're finding samples on the floor and on the hatchback of the trunk, that there would be blood there as well. There was also some blood found in a Nike shoe that they believed to be that of Gannon as well. The police go into the search of Letitia's cellular phone. They were looking for evidence to corroborate her statements about Gannon's whereabouts on the afternoon of January 27th, and in fact, whether he did in fact go play with friends. The police believe that her story was false and misleading, and that these messages were sent as a part of her larger plan to support her initial lies about the disappearance of Gannon. GPS location for the phone was obtained and analyzed, and there's a time between January 28th where there's no record of Letitia's phone being connected to any cellular network. That's when they believe that she was disposing of the body. Also of interest was Letitia's internet activity between January 25th and 29th. Specifically, between January 25th and 28th of 2020, Letitia viewed websites associated with searching for a job in states other than Colorado, such as Los Angeles, Orlando, Florida, Pensacola, Florida, and Fort Lauderdale, Florida. She looked at two-bedroom apartments in Florida, and she visited a moving cost calculator website as well. She also searched rental cars on January 28th of 2020. The police also submit that her search history is important because the history suggests she might have been struggling as a step-parent and additionally suggests she was not happily married to Al. Although they do not include all of her searches, and they're not simply trying to say that there's any searches that give any motive or intent to actually harm Gannon, they list them for the court to see. Now, the cops mention consciousness of guilt. In particular, early on in the investigation, the investigators asked Letitia for Gannon's toothbrush to recover his DNA. And shortly after that request was made, she did a search in her internet browser. Quote, "They are asking for our son's toothbrush, but said nothing is wrong," end quote. At about 4:30, she sends a text to Al, and she states, "Something isn't right. I think they are hiding something." And Al responds back, "Who, the police?" "Letitia, yes. They're asking for the toothbrush." Al, "What do you think they're hiding?" The police also believe that on January 28th, that Letitia made a statement to investigators via text message. At that time of the statement, Gannon had been missing for approximately 27 hours. Letitia believed she was the subject of his disappearance without any prior prompting from law enforcement or notification of such. Now, the police go on to do an extensive search of the Volkswagen's chip data that was obtained through a search warrant. And that is how and why the police believe that the body was dumped somewhere in Douglas County, Colorado, north of Colorado Springs. Obviously, that was not where the remains of Gannon were found, so the police still have to figure out how that comes about. Now, the biggest piece of evidence I think the police are relying upon are simply the stories that Letitia talked about. We mentioned those earlier, but quickly, story number one. was that when the police came to the house on January 27th, that the abductor was still in her residence and that she tried to signal the El Paso County Sheriff deputies that there was somebody in the residence. It should be noted that the deputies checked the entirety of the house and no additional person was located during that search. Story number two, Letitia stated that Quincy Brown, well, she was raped by an individual at the residence and that person abducted Gannon. She stated that she knew the person's identity because she saw a paper and his identification card fall out of his pocket that had his name on it. Another story was that this perpetrator followed her from Petco and at some place was laying in the middle of the road in front of her car. When Letitia stopped to avoid running over the man, he jumped into her car and made her take him home where she was sexually assaulted. She also stated that at one point, Letitia and Gannon were near County Line Road, Highway 105 in northern El Paso County on January 27th. Apparently, Gannon was riding his bike in the area and fell off and hit his head, and he was abducted by this person that she claimed also sexually assaulted her. She also stated this abductor was driven by another man by the name of Terrence. The police found it suspicious that Letitia brought up this location related to 105 South Perry Park Road without prompting and tried to create an alibi as to why she was in that particular area. We talked about the blood on the piece of wood in Douglas County that they found where they believe that it has been located. What's even more interesting is that there were wiretap interceptions. They were granted a pen register trap and trace, which is basically all information of all numbers coming in and out, GPS monitoring, cell site sector information investigation, monitoring Letitia's telephone, and recorded hours of communications between Letitia and others. Now, that's very rare in a missing persons type of case. To get a search warrant for somebody's phone, a wiretap, police basically have to say that all normal investigative techniques have failed and that this is kind of a last resort because it is such an invasive tool. It should not be a normal investigative technique, and I am sure that the defense will challenge that particular requirement and say that those statements would not be admissible that they obtained while listening to her phone. Apparently, on one of the calls, as late as February 16th, Letitia told a female that she had been giving Al numerous false stories because she knows he will not believe anything that she says. Additionally, on February 17th, she tells people that they still think that I'm in Colorado. Additionally, apparently Letitia tried to obtain a polygraph examination that was completely fake, basically based upon questions and answers that she thinks would exonerate her. Well, first of all, polygraph examinations are not admissible in court, and certainly polygraph examinations that were basically purchased on the internet are of no value whatsoever. There's communication back and forth that the police were able to obtain regarding her communications with a male at fakepolygraph.com, and they did not agree to send the information to Letitia because they were blocked by management on the content of the questions and stated that with any illegal activities, they reserve the right to not send a report. Letitia apparently responded back, "What do you do now? Just delete it and go about your life and keep the money?" And their response was, "Yes, we do indeed." Her response to that was, "Okay, gotcha, thank you, goodbye." Certainly not a good fact. There are lots of bad facts in this affidavit for Letitia. Certainly more than enough to be arrested and charged with first-degree murder. The biggest thing that the police are going to have to do is justify their investigation and try to explain where and how Letitia was in Florida or whether it was someone else dumping the remains of Gannon on the side of a road in Florida. There's a lot of information here. Letitia did herself no favors at all. Letitia has made the job for her defense attorneys very, very difficult. And the question is, will they be able to find something in this investigation to maybe make some key evidence go away? Did the police jump the gun? Did they obtain a search warrant where there was not particularly accurate information in the affidavit, or maybe even the wiretaps? That is an extreme tool. It is not a normal investigative technique. You'll have to see what's in that particular affidavit as to why it was so necessary. I hope you enjoyed it. There's a lot of information here. We're going to have a lot to talk about for a long time. You can review the entire affidavit at scottreich.com in its entirety. It's already up. Please leave your comments. Do you think the prosecution has enough to convict? Do you think the defense has a lot to work with? Let me know. I look forward to your comments. Thanks for watching.